Good evening and welcome to our evening service. We begin with hymn number 525. Let us sing to God's praise. Come to the Lord in prayer now. Our eternal loving Father, we bow our heads before Thee. We come in fear and trembling to the mighty eternal God. We thank You, Lord, that You have made a way for us to approach Thy holy throne through Jesus Christ, Your Son. And our Savior, Lord, we thank You for the blood that was shed on the cross. We thank You, Lord, for making a way to reconcile us. We, the sinners that have disobeyed and broken Thy commandments, and we cannot pay for our salvation, we find ourselves, Lord, able to approach Thee through the finished work of Jesus Christ. thank you, Lord, for this gift. We thank you, Lord, that you can hear us. We know, Lord, even though we are far away from each other now, you are amongst us, and where two or three are gathered, there you are amongst us. We pray, Lord, and ask that you will be with us tonight. Give us the right word. Bless our pastor. May he have the right message. Give him the right message, Lord, and strengthen him as he preaches. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to the living God. You can hear us. You can answer our prayers. We don't come to anyone but to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. All things have work and will work according to thy will. We thank you even, Lord, for your blessings day by day that you provide for our needs. We thank you, Lord, even in this pandemic, that your will be done, that everything will be done to thy glory and honor, that people will recognize, even in this pandemic, the brevity of life and the important things that need to be dealt with. Oh God, we pray that we can be a light to those that come around us, that we can see that we have been to Christ. We have peace, we have strength, not by our own abilities, but the strength from thy word and from thy spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask, Lord, to remember those frontline workers that are doing heavy load of work now. Thank you for their diligence, for their work. Lord, bless them and watch over them and protect them, Lord. We pray also for our leaders to give wisdom, to give strength, to guide them, to recognize, Lord, the weakness of man, and that we need to go to a sovereign, mighty God to submit to his will, to get the right wisdom from him. Lord, we pray that you will, in wrath, have mercy upon us. Lord, we have sinned. We have disobeyed. We look around us and we look at trouble and sin and things not according to thy will. We pray, Lord, that you turn things around, and may thy spirit come back and speak to the souls of man. We pray, Lord, that we may be more like Christ. We pray, Lord, that every day our eyes be focused on our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. May we be disciples. May we be obedient and submissive and humble before him, that we give him honor and glory in everything we do. So help us, Lord. Cleanse us from all our sins and fill us with thy Spirit. Lord, we remember the family that's breathing. We remember the Fernandezes, please, Lord. Lord, comfort them and strengthen them at this time. We remember also those that are sick and suffering. We think of our brother Ron Blair. Lord, be with him. Strengthen him, Lord, and comfort him, that he may see your work in everything around him. Lord, we think of all those weak and suffering and the seniors in our congregation. Remember them, Lord. Remember all those that have lost work, that need thee for those prayers that are spoken from the heart, Lord. May all these prayers be answered. Thank you, Lord, for again for all your blessings. And we ask you, Lord, to continue with us this evening. Accept our thanks for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. For our second hymn, we turn to sing to the hymn, Almighty Father of Mankind. For our congregation reading, we turn to Isaiah chapter 50, and we will begin verse 7. Isaiah 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. May God bless his holy, infallible, and inerrant word. This is God's word. I'd like to welcome you all to our evening service. I just want to go over the announcements. Again, welcome to our evening service. The announcements are not too many. This week we have our week of prayer, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7:30, and the information for linking on the Zoom software will be provided via email. Our evening service, again, on Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be included. And then on Sunday, the Bible study will be at 9 o'clock, God willing. Pastor Frank McClelland will continue in the book of Peter. And then the services will be at 10 o'clock. And the evening service will be at 5 o'clock. Please remember our seniors. We think of the old folks, Florence Cheng, we think of Jean Bino, the Puccinis, the Kellys, Mary Todd, Mrs. Saunders, and many others. I may not remember all the names. We think also of the sick ones. We think of Mr. Tony, Ron Blair, and other ones. Pray for them, continue prayers. We think of also our mission work, our missionaries from our congregations. Remember them, pray for them, think of them at this time. Think of, we thank the Lord for all his blessings, even now that we are able to meet together, even in this way the Lord has provided us. Thank God for his blessings day by day. And we thank the Lord. We haven't heard that any COVID virus that has occurred at Cedarbrook Senior Home. Thank the Lord for that. And may he continue to protect that work over there. If there is any need for special prayers, please approach the pastor or any of the elders, and they are willing and able to assist. At this time, these are all our announcements. We will now sing the offering hymn, hymn number 541, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Thank you.
thank our brother Maher for leading the service tonight, and let me extend my own word of welcome to everyone as you have tuned into our evening service. Do remember Maher and Ria's daughter, Sonia, as she is a nurse serving in the front line in this situation. And I know they very much appreciate their prayers, and not only for her, but others who are connected with our fellowship here, who are on the front line and either have family members or they themselves are serving. Well, we hold them up earnestly before God in prayer. Let me ask you also to remember a couple of other things before the Lord. Our brother Sam McAnally, he is in need of prayer. He has a health concern at this time. And Brother Sam, if you're listening tonight, I hope you are, then be assured, brother, of our prayers for you. And we pray the Lord will just give very clear direction, way forward. We know that Dr. McClelland also has a health concern that he will be going into the hospital this week about for examination. And so we hold up our brother also before the Lord in prayer tonight. And then we got a prayer request from Fredericton, the granddaughter of Wendy Sullivan. Her name is Maddie. She's just a young child, about 6 years old, I believe, and do ask for prayer for her. She has to go in for a four-hour surgery this week, and she has a heart complication that was really from birth, and so I would ask you to remember her very much before the Lord in prayer. I ask you to turn now in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17, or 18 rather, 1 Kings 18, and as you turn up there, to emphasize again that this week is a special one for us in our congregation, as we will be meeting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for prayer at 7:30 each night. And it's exciting because on Monday evening, we're going to be welcoming into fellowship two new members. And we're looking forward to the testimony of Brother Daniel Siman that evening on Monday, and looking forward to see how God has worked in his own heart and life, and also our sister Rebecca. And looking forward to that. So, and also Tuesday night, Dr. McClelland will be bringing the word. And then Wednesday, Reverend Cranston from our church in Port Hope. Do set aside this time. The Lord has been at work among us in many ways. And we're looking forward to giving praise, but also to ask for his continual watch, care, and direction, that we will not lose out in the message he has for us through this whole COVID issue, and that we will be able to be strong witnesses for him at this time. 1 Kings chapter 18, as we continue in our study in the life of Elijah and the events that are around his life. Verse 1, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto the fountains of water and unto all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. And they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And Obadiah was in the way. Behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, Behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, Behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass that as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so, when I come to tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, Behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. We'll ask the Lord's help now in prayer just before we come to his word. Father, we rejoice tonight again that once more we have a great privilege of coming to pray, to sing the praises of our God, to open the Bible and to read. And Lord, we pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit tonight. I'm asking, O God, that I might be clothed with that power of heaven, that which is not manufactured or made up by men. Lord, we do not want to pretend or play at church. But I ask, Lord, for the help of heaven so that I might be speaking the message of God as the Lord's messenger so that no one would misunderstand. Dear God, I pray that there would be a word in season to some waiting, perhaps worried or wearied heart tonight, and that someone who is without Christ would come to call out unto the Lord and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Father, work in every heart tonight as you worked so many years ago in the heart of Obadiah. Lord, hear our prayers this evening, for we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Obadiah, here was a God-fearing servant. And just to be clear, this is not the Obadiah that is known as one of the minor prophets sometime later in the scripture. But this man bears the same name, but he is a very different person, a very, very different era and age. We know that so far in our study we have considered that Elijah lived in a very dark time in Israel's history. And he was commanded to go and speak to King Ahab, the wicked king of Israel in Samaria, and give him that word that there would not be rain for a period of time. And so after saying that, he left and went down to the brook called Cherith, where God allowed the ravens to come and feed him, and the brook there would give him drink until that went dry. He was hunted by Ahab for all that time period. And we learn from Obadiah, as he said, that Ahab took an oath from all the countries, the nations, the people around him, if you know where Elijah is, you must give him to me. And they all said, we don't know where he is. And they swore that they would reveal him if they have found him. The Lord moved him from Cherith down to or north to Zidon, to Zarephath, where he remained for over 2 years. And God provided for the widow and for the resurrected son. We learned last Lord's Day evening how that the great miracle was performed, and the faith that the widow of Zarephath was even more strongly confirmed in, both in the Lord and the word of Elijah and the truth of God because of the raising of her son. And that provision was given for the entire time of the famine. But it came time now for Elijah to move on. God had something else for him to do. Think about it for a moment, the departure that this man of God from the home where he had been there for 2 years, and the attachment certainly from the child, the provision that he had received. We're not told anything about that, but would there not have been some sadness? Because we don't know if Elijah ever saw that lady again or the child in his life. Nonetheless, the Lord had a work for him to do. And in going to reveal himself to Ahab and let the rain, because God was going to send rain, he used an instrument, a vehicle. There was a man, a faithful man of God, who had been placed in the palace of the king to be a means whereby Elijah would be shown to Ahab. And we only hear about this man Obadiah here once in this very place. We know very little about him. How did he get to be in such a place of importance in the palace of this particular king? But the little that we do know, and that has been shown to us in chapter 18, it provides, I think, some helpful instruction, some very good application for us as God's people, as believers, in our everyday walk of life. So let's think tonight, please, about Obadiah, a God-fearing servant. And the first thing that comes to us is this: he had a testimony that was worth having. A testimony that was worth having. We're told in verse 3 that he feared the Lord greatly. When I read that word about this man, I'm envious, I have to be honest, because here was an inspired account. The God of heaven is writing with his own hand by inspiration that this is what he thought. This is how he summed up the life of Obadiah. He feared the Lord, not just generally, not just a little bit more than average, but he feared the Lord greatly. Sometimes you and I are prone to exaggerate our description of people, maybe because we like them or we have witnessed some trait in them that has been impressed upon our mind. But when God makes a statement about the character of a man or a woman, that carries a weight that goes just beyond so far than a human opinion. My friends, I wonder, what is the testimony that God has of us tonight? If our life was to be summed up by the Lord in one phrase, written in the Scriptures, what would it be of us? It's actually a very haunting question. It's a searching one. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will allow that very truth to come as an arrow to our hearts, to come as a searching point. Where do we stand before the living God? What do we have to show in our life toward Him? Obadiah was similar to another man called Hananiah that we read of in the days of Nehemiah, for he had the testimony of being a faithful man that feared God above many. And so that man feared God above many, and here Obadiah feared God greatly. Yes, there's a similarity in these two. You know, when a man or a woman fears God, it is a reverential love for the Lord Himself and for the truth that God has spoken. Such a fear of the Lord, what does it do in the heart of a man? Well, I will say this to you, it will govern his attitude. It will govern the way a man thinks. It will govern our will. And then, of course, you put all those things together, and the outcome is it will have to govern his actions, how a man lives. You cannot fear God and live in sin. Christian, has the Lord been convicting you of something in your life? Has the Spirit of God been putting His finger upon in some area of life? Because you cannot go on with God. You cannot rejoice in Him. You cannot live Him. You certainly can't fear the Lord if we are living in sin. You can't fear the Lord if you love sin, because a love of sin cannot join hands with the love of God, of the Lord. If we love the world, we cannot love God. But I would say to you, if you fear the Lord, as Obadiah feared the Lord, you cannot even like sin. It would be an abhorrence to us. And what a prayer for us to pray, that our fear of the Lord would increase to the point that we will not like sin, will not love sin, we would not live anywhere near it. The Lord set a hedge around us, believer, tonight, so that our testimony would be one that is shining brightly for the Master. We learn from verse 12 of 1 Kings 18 that Obadiah feared the Lord from his youth. This is a great encouragement as well. We don't know anything about the man's background, but we do know that his name means servant of Jehovah. Servant of Jehovah. Now you tell me, what parent would call their child a servant of Jehovah unless those parents had a fear of God themselves? I mean, don't forget where they were living in that time. It was given over to the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth and Chemosh and every other kind of god that was there. And if there were people who were worshipers of Baal, well, they're going to call their child a son of Baal or a servant of Baal or a servant of Chemosh, but not the servant of Jehovah. No, those names were reserved for those people who loved the Lord. And so I say to you that Obadiah had God-fearing parents who raised him up, and he is bearing this testimony of fearing God from his youth. This was a hard time to follow the Lord in Israel. Jezebel, the wicked queen, had murdered so many of the prophets of God already. The wicked line of kings in Israel did not give light. The worship of Jehovah was virtually outlawed in the land. Baal was the new god, old god on the block. And those that did not dance to his tune, well, they would be persecuted into silence, or else they would have been put to death. It was a hard time to live. It sounds somewhat similar to the time in which we are living, though we have not faced that serious persecution unto death yet. But if anyone today in our political realms or our educational places would determine themselves a follower of Christ and say, "I love and I fear the God of heaven," and they would raise their voice in opposition to the murderous accounts of abortion going on today, or they would say that they are in agreement with a creation model of cosmology, well, they'd be branded as idiots, not too smart, not too intelligent. It has been that way, friend, from the beginning of time. For those that make their mark for God, and those who are prepared to stand and say, "I fear the God of heaven, and I am going to have my life molded by His purpose and plan," they're going to be different from others. They're going to have a mark on their life. And I would say this to you, it would take a strong person to maintain their faith in those forums and to give testimony to God that they love Him. and they fear him greatly. And they don't want to compromise their faith. Believer, is this in your heart today? Are you prepared to say, I don't care what the world thinks about me. I don't care if they reject my testimony. I don't care if they call me an ignoramus, unintelligent, and they cast me aside as being ill-informed or confused by the religious nonsense of the day. Are you prepared to say, I will take my stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in my time, in my generation, in our day? This was the man that Obadiah was, but keep in mind that he lived in a most oppressive regime. And the testimony and the witness that he had, well, it may have been different from others, but God says this about him, that he feared him and he loved him. And we will conclude by that, that he served the Lord in the capacity that he was in. Sometimes we wonder what others think about us. And I commented a few weeks ago, it's a good thing that we can't read others' minds. Sometimes we think we might like to, but it's a good thing we can't. You know, those more involved in social media, there are likes that are little like check marks put aside, whether it's a photograph or a comment, a statement. And really, more likes that people get, it sort of boosts the ego and makes them think it carries a lot of weight. Really, it doesn't carry any weight at all. But at any rate, it's probably a good idea not to think too long and too hard about what others think about you, because you might be disappointed. You might be discouraged in the long run, may depress you. But what is important beyond anything else is this. What does the Lord think about you? What does God think about me? How do I measure up to the living God? Because in eternity, that is all that matters. When we come to stand before the Lord, if He says these words to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it will be worth it all. Obadiah, receive that from the Lord. Well done, thou God-fearing servant. Obadiah, he was an unknown man, really. He was in an unwelcome place, but he was held up by the Lord as someone who feared him greatly. The fact that he feared God from his youth, that's encouraging for us because of this. Excuse me for 1 second. I think it's encouraging when we learn that he feared God from his youth because of those today who are involved in teaching children. Maybe you're a parent with little ones, and your heart's desire is to bring them up in the fear of God. And that's what you want for the life of your child. You want to see them come to Christ early in their days. You want to see their life being mapped out by the providence of God. And as they grow up, you're not so concerned about them being successful in the world, but you are concerned that they are faithful to God, and you want that for your children. And if it's not a young parent, it may be that you're a Sunday school teacher and you've had children in a class around you. You are a day school teacher and you've had the charge of a classroom full of students. And your heart's desire is that you might convey to them some truth. You might be able to convey to them through your own testimony that they'll be directed in the love and fear of God so that their life will make a difference down the road. And you face discouragements and you face setbacks. And the children that you have taught sometimes, well, they have wandered off. Parents, your children have wandered off. Sunday school teachers, you've heard of children you taught when they were very young, and maybe their lives are way off track today. And the same holds true for the students that have come to Whitfield, our own school. We rejoice at the great victories, but we're saddened and grieved by those that have gone astray. Ah, but my friend, I tell you this, cast thy bread upon the waters, and it shall return in many days. And when we sow and train up a child in the way they are to go, the Lord says they will not depart from that in old age. And the confidence and hope we have as the seed of the Word of God is sown, and you prayed over it, and you sought the Lord earnestly, then have faith and hope in the Lord. He will bring to pass that which He has promised. Obadiah feared God from his youth, and look where he was today. He was a servant of the Lord in a place that was very unpopular, difficult, trying, with persecution, and yet he maintained his witness to the end. There's something further that we can learn here, that this position that Obadiah was in was providentially provided. There's no doubt about that. We're told in verse 3 that he was a governor in his, that is Ahab's, house. How did he get into that place? I wonder that myself. How did he ever get to be in that place? I mean, no one in Ahab's household or in the whole governance structure around him feared God, really. You wouldn't think they did anyways. And the way that Ahab went about his worship, and certainly Jezebel in promoting Baal worship, they were unwelcome, those who were followers of Jehovah. Possibly Obadiah was in the house or the palace before Ahab became a king. But when you think back of it, there was not a line of any righteous kings in Israel anyways. So it was a tough spot. But I say to you, the fact that he worshipped the true God and feared him, it meant this. It meant that Obadiah was a man of honesty, a man of integrity. Maybe he was also a man skilled in administration. He was beneficial to the king and his house, and so therefore he was taken to that place. Remember Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah? The king of Babylon took these three, four Israelites. They're young men, 17 years of age, and he brought them into the palace. Why? Because they had something to offer. Now, they were followers of Jehovah. They refused to eat the king's meat and diet. But the Lord blessed them. And the Lord raised them, as he did to Daniel, to a place of high office in Babylon. And Obadiah was raised up to this place. You know, there are many in the world that try to maneuver and to scheme their way up the ladder of business or of place. And they will step on or over anyone who gets in their way because they aspire to greatness. But that's not the way for a child of God. Because, friend, if you're walking with the Lord, your life is in His hands, God will open doors for you that you never could have opened yourself. And He will place you in a place that is very unusual or strange, it may seem, and you never even planned for that. You didn't even go to school for that. You didn't have a career plan for that. But look where the Lord has placed you. Because God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose that He is unfolding, believer, in your life. And as you fear God from your youth right through, and you leave your life in His hands, you know what He will do? God will put you exactly where He wants you to be so that you may glorify Him. You know, it's often true that even those in crooked business practices, those who might be dishonest themselves, they don't want other crooks around them, because one crook will lie and steal to another one. And oftentimes you will find that there is a man whose business practices may be a little bit twisted or bent, but he's happy to have someone in his rank who he knows will tell him the truth and who will not cheat him, who will be honest. Well, Ahab had one of those in Obadiah. He was a man who would tell the king the truth. It didn't mean he was going to be brazen about it. Didn't mean he was going to be disrespectful to the king. Because the wisdom that God gives in these circumstances is the wisdom to know how to keep your mouth shut at the right time and how to open your mouth at the right time. That's discernment and wisdom from God. And this type of diplomacy is not a wicked thing. It's not an evil thing. It's not a compromising thing. It's a wise thing. For the Lord has made His servants to be wise, His servants to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He was in that position, providentially placed there by God for a greater purpose. Above all, friends, we know the sovereign plan of God would be unfolded through Obadiah to Elijah, and he was going to prosper in the kingdom of the Lord. Can you entrust your life to God? Can you give yourself into His hands and commit your way unto Him? Because, friend, when we do that, the truth of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it comes to the forefront time and time again. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge the Lord. Because when you trust in Him, you can leave all with Him. And the unknowables and the uncertainties and the setbacks and the twists and turns, they're in the hands of one who is mightier and greater and wiser, because you trust in the Lord. Yes, Obadiah had a testimony that was worth having. He feared the Lord greatly. He was in a position that was providentially provided. He had risen to be the governor in the house of Ahab. But I want you all to also notice here, there was a contrast of servants. A contrast of servants. You have Elijah on the one hand and Obadiah on the other. Now, Elijah was outgoing. We could say he was direct, forceful, and maybe one who was fearless in going into the very court of King Ahab and saying, "It will not rain until I prophesy, it will rain again," and walked out, and he just told Ahab the way it was. He was a different man. Obadiah, we could say and assume that he was a meek man. He was a quiet believer, true, steadfast, a man who feared God. I don't know if it's a bit too over the top to say, but I get the impression from reading this that Elijah may not have thought too highly of Obadiah. Perhaps that Elijah would have thought, well, here's a man who was very compromised in the fact he was in the household of Ahab, in that wicked king's camp. When Elijah was under the heat of attack, a little bit later in his life, you'll remember this, when he had fled from Jezebel, and he said to the Lord, "I'm the only one left that has served God." He knew about Obadiah, but he didn't account that Obadiah was even worth considering when he thought about him being the only one left standing at that time. It takes many different personalities and skills to serve in the kingdom of Christ. The body is made up of different parts, as we're told by the Apostle Paul, but all are needed for the body to operate normally. Believer, don't think that you're more important than another part of the body of Christ. But also don't think that you are of no importance in the body of Christ, because the Lord has us all for a purpose. And He is building the body. He is building up the church of Christ. Let's not either envy the gifts of others, but let's not despise their so-called deficiencies. And I'm thinking about that as it applies to our own fellowship, our own church members. Let's rather rejoice when we see another brother or another sister being promoted, benefiting. Let us rejoice when they see their skills and their talents being used by the Lord to advance His kingdom. And let's also be careful that we don't become critical, envious of other believers when they seem to be doing better than we are, or they're exalted more, or we look down upon someone else and say, man, they're not doing anything for God's kingdom. Or maybe they're doing something a different way than we are. Just because ministry is not being done exactly the way we have been doing it by our custom and habit, well, let's be careful that we don't be quick to judge others. But let always our judgment be according to the Word of God. Let our judgment be according to the Spirit of the Lord. And let us be mindful of this, my dear friends, that we will do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Yes, Elijah and Obadiah were two different characters, two different personalities. They were like in worlds apart. But they both had a function to perform in the kingdom of God. And Obadiah was placed where he was providentially by the Lord to the kingdom, we could say, for such a time as this. And the Lord made use of him. And they were very different in the contrast of servants. And we have something to remember and to rejoice in. To look at someone who is in a different camp, maybe a different place, but the Lord's using them. Let's rejoice in that. And let's not be overly critical about someone who may not just be marching in the same tune that we are. We learn something further from the account of Obadiah's life. Here is a man who had a willingness to sacrifice all for God. We're told in verse 4 that Obadiah took 100 prophets and he hid them and he fed them with bread and water. Think about this brave move to rescue these prophets that had a death sentence on them. Jezebel had already killed many of the priests and servants of the Lord. But the courage of Obadiah, it cannot be minimized. Because he, if he had have been found out for what he was doing, it was a death sentence for him. So he put everything on the line for God in the time in which he lived. Obviously, he didn't go about bragging about the fact that, oh, I've secured 100 prophets and I hid them away. And no, that wasn't the nature, nor was it the time, nor was it wise for this man to do that at that time. He did what he did quietly, secretly. He did it without Ahab and Jezebel knowing, or any of the other wicked characters of the land, because it was prudent and wise in the way in which he acted at that time. Friend, it's one thing to talk a good testimony, but it's a very different thing to live it out when all is on the line. Wherever he got the supplies, meager as they were, the bread and water, to feed these men in the time of famine, we don't know. Did it come out of his own pocket? I don't think he took it from the king's treasury, for that would have been found out. So it quite likely came from his own reserves. Somehow, he ventured all. He hazarded all. And he cast that upon the Lord. And he said, Lord, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to take care of your servants. And my life is on the line. We sang tonight from Trust and Obey. Listen to the words of the fourth line. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. And I say to you that Obadiah was one who trusted, who obeyed, and who followed the Lord. And he placed everything on the altar of sacrifice for service. And it really begs the question for us, is that where we are in our Christian walk tonight? Believer, have you ventured all on the altar of sacrifice for God? Have I done that in my life? You know, surrendering ourselves to the Lord, it's not a once-in-a-lifetime thing for a believer. No, I know that there are special periods, there are times, there are epochs when we might say, yes, Lord, you brought me to the point of total surrender to your will, to give myself into full-time service, to avail myself of what God wants me to do. There are those major times. But there are times, is it not every day, when we wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, my life, for whatever time I have left, for whatever abilities and talents you've given me, my life is in your hands. Take me and use me for whatever you want me to do, because that's what I want to do for the Lord. I just want to be faithful to him. We are told about Paul and Barnabas that these men hazarded their lives for the cause of Christ. They put it on the line, and they were prepared for whatever the outcome was, but they trusted in the Lord. And you know, believer, when you trust in a sovereign God, you are invincible until the day God will call you home. And there's a great confidence in that. We were destined to be born on a certain day, and God will call us home on his day. And in between that time period, we're walking, yes, by faith, not by foolishness, and not by an attitude that says, I'm just going to forget everything. No, the Lord's placed within us common sense and the restraint upon doing foolish things. We hope that we mostly abide by that. But we want to trust in him and say, Lord, my life and my times are in your hands. Yes, he had a testimony that was a good one, a desirable one, one worth having. He was in a place that God had providentially put him. Yeah, there's a contrast between him and Elijah. There's no doubt about that. But he had and willingly sacrificed his everything. But there was a marked humility. And with this, I close tonight. There was a marked humility that was seen in this man. For when he met Elijah in verse 7, he fell on his face. He fell on his face before Elijah. And the verses that we read there all about him saying, well, Elijah, if you want me to go and tell where you are to Ahab, and then the Spirit of the Lord is going to take you away and my life will be taken over. There was quite a dramatic appeal that Obadiah made. But you know, he humbled himself before God's prophet. He was not afraid to show himself vulnerable to God's servant. Do you know a lot of times the problems within church work is a pride and a lack of showing ourselves vulnerable one to another, because we want to have the right position, the right place. We want to be thought well of. We don't want to submit ourselves one to another. And that can come and affect the work of God, as it has, and as it probably will continue to do to the end of time. But here was a man who was humble before God's servant, another servant. and he made himself vulnerable to him. He was not proud of his place or position. Like, he could have said to Elijah, look, King Ahab sent me to find you, and now you got to come back because I am who I say I am. No, he didn't have that at all, because he was a man who feared God. He loved the Lord, and he knew where his place was. And he humbled himself. He wasn't too big for his own boots. No, he was a man who did justly, who loved mercy, and who walked humbly with his God. Do you know humility? Humility is a prime marker of a man of God, because pride is the very opposite of that, of a God-fearing man. When we are in a place of power and authority, it is then that our character will be revealed. Someone said once, you don't truly know a man until he's in a position of power. Well, of Obadiah, he had authority. He had a degree of power. He was in the king's household. But he was a humble man. He walked with God. He loved the Lord. Where has God placed you in your life, believer? He has providentially put you there. Don't despise that. Don't be yearning and crying for something different or complaining that it's not what you expected it was going to be. But maybe it's time that you just said, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, I want to be happy and humble and holy and useful in this place. Do we allow our position to get the better of us at times? Are we exalted? Then say, no, Lord. Let me have the mind of Christ. Let me walk humbly with my God. And let us rejoice for the Obadiahs that God has raised up in our day, and to pray that God would shine through them and shine through other believers, and rejoice, for Christ is building his kingdom. And if he's going to use us, great. We're happy about that. If he chooses to use someone else, let us say, may God's name be praised. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him right. May God encourage your heart tonight, friend. And I say to you, just as we bring our meeting to close, we're going to be praying just in a moment, but you may not be a Christian this evening. You may not know the Lord. God knows your heart, and you do, even if others around you don't. But tonight is an opportunity for you, and I've been addressing my remarks tonight to believers, to Christians. But if you're not a believer tonight, don't let this night go into eternity before you say, Lord, come and save me. I repent of my sin. I confess my sin. And all I want, Lord, is to know your grace and your peace and your joy in my life and the forgiveness of my sin. And I tell you that when you pray that prayer, the Lord will hear, the Lord will answer, and he will come. Do that tonight. Let's ask the Lord to hear us. Father, we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that because we approach in Jesus' name, on the ground and merit of his own precious shed blood, that we have access to the throne room of heaven. And Lord, we know that your ear is hearing us now, not only as I pray audibly, but as every believer prays in their home or wherever they are. Father, we trust, we depend, we rest. Pour out your grace upon us. Pour out your peace. Pour out your mighty power, that we will go forward conquering and to conquer, that we'll be a light in a dark place. That, Lord, you'll be pleased to use us in every time, in every opportunity. Father, use us, we pray, for the honor of your holy name. Now part us in your fear, with your blessing upon us. May the Lord Jesus, with every breath that we take, with every thought that we think, with every action that we do, be glorified. for we ask in his precious and holy name. Amen.